Hi everyone, and welcome to a very special insomnia recovery Q&A with Coach Alina. Welcome.
Thank you, Daniel, for inviting me.
Anytime. Super nice having you here. I think it brings so much more value when we have this discussion. And I was smiling before because actually I saw our friend Sean, you know, from Bye Bye Panic. He calls his like insomnia, no, his lives on Instagram. I saw he calls them like anxiety recovery Q&A, and I was like, that's a nice name. I just said that now. But anyway, how are things on your end?
They're going well. It's actually getting more intense closer to, I think, like autumn is usually people switch from a very relaxed, non-pressuring mode to something more pressured. So also the pressure to sleep grows. So I get a lot of inquiries for that.
Yeah, I'm noticing that too. It's towards like summer, a little slower, and now more and more activity. And now, by the way, I also see a bunch of people have joined live, so you can already post your questions in the comment section, and we will ask them, answer them, of course. But before we do, one of the reasons that we're doing this together, Alina, today is you had shared with me that, you know, part of talking about insomnia and coaching and things like that have actually been sort of like helpful in kind of closing a chapter or leading towards a place where it's really not a thing anymore at all. So I thought that could be interesting to discuss because I know a lot of people are like, how can you even talk about this casually? So want to share some thoughts on this?
Yeah, sure. I've been getting this question for quite some time, and people were like, but how is it possible that you can talk about it? Like you're discussing like with people their worst moments, like their worst speed bumps. And it's like, do you get, you know, also get triggered by that and so on and so on. And I always try to kind of like explain what recovery is about. And we like, you know, get into this conversation. But I actually realized that, you know, the moment when I began sharing my knowledge, and particularly when I started getting more serious about it, when I was like coaching, so it was like there's certain expectations and, you know, like agreements between the sides. So it's kind of also showed me that you can get back to the issue back, like after you've struggled, you can return there with everything, like knowing that what you went through and what other people might, you know, tell to you and be completely unaffected by it. And I think this kind of like the willingness to go back and share it or tell it in your words or, you know, help someone out can actually be one of those kind of like the final phases in the recovery where you know that you can safely get back to your own memories. You can talk about it. And I know many people wish they could kind of erase like from memory that they ever had insomnia and then like have it like as they never experienced it, which is not possible to erase memory. But what is possible is that to completely like heal that trauma that created that memory so that you can easily revisit that, you know, any life events like that happened during insomnia and any, you know, turmoils without it actually triggering you because completely like healed. You can easily, yeah. It's like, you know, like a wound when you have a wound and then there's just like, you know, there's no even scar tissue. You just, you know, there is just a memory maybe. It's like, you're completely not affected by it. And I feel like one of the ways that actually helped me tremendously is sharing it with others.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Super, super nice to hear that. And makes so much sense. And just to add a little, kind of a little bit similar thinking that I've been meaning to talk more about and maybe make some video about is like this, like looking under the hood. I feel like there's a lot of times followers or people on YouTube here or even clients, they start learning a little bit. And then when they see things get easier, they sleep easier. Sometimes they're kind of like, oh, good, sleeping. Let's not change anything. I'm going to leave now. I'm going to do other things and keep them a bit busy. And then you're not willing to kind of like really look under the hood and see what was really going on. What was really, like, as soon as things are easier to kind of leave and then they come back and that can be really tricky. So I think this is like what you're doing is like completely like looking under the hood, being willing to examine everything. And I think that leads to kind of complete freedom as well, right?
Yeah, I had a similar experience when, you know, like a client would cancel the call because she started feeling better.
Exactly, right.
I don't want to get into this topic and I'd rather not to talk about it, not to provoke it. And maybe like when in the future, and to me it's like, it's okay, you know, of course, like, if it's, there is, shouldn't be any pressure on the path, but at the same time, I can already see how that builds up this kind of like pressure, because there's so much, I would say, like, people try to protect their sleep, which is normal. I mean, it's like, we all want to feel good and sleep well. It's completely normal. It's just interesting to see the patterns that occur in others and see how, where it will lead to, and which makes me think like that insomnia actually is one of the more predictable things. You can actually predict by how people ask question what will happen next.
Yeah,
you know, how they will sleep, whether they will have trouble sleeping or they will not have trouble sleeping, when their speed bump will end, and so on and so on. So it's like so interesting, because you know, it's, it becomes really kind of like clear when you become completely unattached to the problem. You're not in there. You're just as an observer. So yeah.
No, that's so interesting too, because I you know, this, seeing these patterns, yeah, you see them quite clearly after a while, and then thinking like, oh, there is a way to actually structure this maybe in a way that we can really help people more effectively. Things like very interesting topics.
And I also noticed that, you know, when I also sometimes check this the Slack channel, like what you have in school, and what I noticed that what the beauty of that common space for coaches and for also people who are there is that it's also a platform for those who are still on the journey, you know, for themselves to actually already start kind of sharing with others. Some, let's say someone who gets on the program like new, and they start asking questions like which are kind of like you know,
beginners,
normal for beginners. Yeah, beginners questions. And you see the people who are like already been on the program, yet they're still kind of in recovery, but they already do this work when they willingly able to face also others' struggles and help them out by this. And I think it's such a good opportunity for, you know, people to actually you know, really heal from that memory by actually willing to help others, and also they are helping themselves at the same time. It's a really great opportunity.
I 100% agree, and we also see that here in YouTube channel too, in the comments section and things like that. Same thing. Yeah. Very, very nice. Let us jump into the questions here. There was several questions that popped in as we were talking. Let's see. Libby has been here many times for open class. Let's check what's happening. Libby says, I've overall been doing a lot better lately with not getting stressed or anxious when I find myself awake at night. Nice to hear. The problem is I still struggle a lot with getting discouraged by how tired I am during the day. The more I try to relax and enjoy my day and take my mind off sleep, it's like the more my body fights back and tries to remind me how exhausted I am. My husband has complained that I seem to zone out, and knowing that bothers him, and that just makes me even more discouraged. All right. What do you think when you hear this? I was going to call you Libby. Alina, of course.
Yeah, you know, I feel like sometimes we have this impression that when we struggle with sleep, we are not allowed to feel discouraged. And that creates a lot of pressure, because then we obviously, like, we were struggling all night, we don't have energy, we feel defeated. And then at the same time, we have this huge pressure that, you know, basically tells that we are not supposed to feel discouraged. So then there is like another layer of pressure that tries to hold that natural emotion that occurs. So I would say, first of all, it's good to validate that discouragement. It's so normal to feel discouraged after a night of less sleep. If you take example of any, let's say, person who doesn't have insomnia and they happen to have a night where they sleep almost nothing for whatever reason, they also might feel pretty bad the next day, and they don't actually question why is it that, or they don't judge themselves why they feel bad. They just know that, yeah, like I had a tough night and I don't feel my best today. And I feel like kind of reframing the whole concept of how one should behave on the after the night of less sleep is something that can help us feel more like relieved, because it's not about not feeling discouraged. It's normal. It's about, okay, admitting or facing the reality. Yes, the night was tough. I feel tired. I feel discouraged. And now what would make sense for you to do about it? Or let's say if there's something that could at least for a little while give you some sense of comfort, or, you know, at least some self-kindness, that is already the good direction. And maybe the first step would be actually giving yourself permission to feel discouraged. And, you know, and that already can take off some of the pressure. So, yeah, what do you think?
Very nicely said. And to you just to add to what you said, like, we often have clients that say, like, how can I stay positive, or I just can't remain optimistic, is the same type of thing that we feel like I have to be optimistic or positive or I won't get anywhere. Where in reality, peaceful mind, peaceful sleep, it happens by itself. We don't have to be positive or so. That allowing yourself to feel whatever we feel, so helpful. And just one little thing is that we often talk about how, like, being awake is like a perceived threat. And the more we try to escape it, the more we actually struggle, the more amplified that thing, you know, wakefulness becomes. Same thing with so many things, like a feeling. Like, feeling tired is like, when we start treating that like an emotion, like, oh, I'm tired. I shouldn't be tired. Why am I tired? I have to do something to be. Then it's kind of that, it just amplifies the fatigue, and we feel so. We hear a little bit of that in Libby's message, and I think it brings the general teaching that the more we don't try to escape any perceived threat, the more it fades out, and the more we try to escape a perceived threat, the more real it seems, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay, thanks, Libby. Hope that made sense to you, and let's move to this question here from Tanmay. I'm from India, and next week I'll be moving to Dublin. Oh, cool. Well done. Good for you. To pursue my master's. I have insomnia since March, but I've been better now, all thanks to Daniel and you, Alina. Very nice. I guess that was just a very nice little message. That's super nice here. Oh, maybe there is a question. Let's keep reading. I had completed my bachelor's, was staying home for a few months, so I'd sleep all right, knowing that I have nothing to do when I'm awake. But from next week, I'll have classes to attend. And I'm so scared that I won't be able to function. Okay. So basically what we're hearing is that Tanmay has been doing better and is actually doing quite well, but there's this upcoming thing now, and there's a fear of, like, what's going to happen in the future. What are your thoughts on this this type of situation, Alina?
Yeah, I think it's normal to feel a bit uncertain about the future, especially when there are changes, because what happens during insomnia is that the brain chaotically is trying to get some sense of control. And sometimes when things aren't changing, so our circumstances, they become more or less stable, we don't have things we have to do or some special trips and stuff, it kind of gets this safety or some certain level of certainty. And once we are faced with some changes, like, you know, you're beginning your studies, and of course it's going to attract attention, because the brain latches on anything new, anything abnormal, odd, weird. So we can even expect this kind of reaction from the mind. So first of all, I would completely, like, validate that, you know, worry about what might happen. And then the another thing about it is that because it is change, it is new, is something that, like, attracts the mind. But what we don't often realize is that everything new eventually becomes old.
Right.
Which means that the brain might get some sort of, like, uncertainty, and maybe there will be some trouble sleeping happening because of the fear of not sleeping so fresh. Of course, it's going to, you know, like, the brain will feel pretty threatened, but it won't last forever. It won't last long. It just takes, like, really, like, a matter maybe of, like, a few days or weeks, like, just for the brain to get accustomed to the new thing, so that it will see, oh, but you are actually handling pretty well. And I can say that it, like, doesn't really matter what the circumstance we get. There is absolutely no way we would not make it through that difficult moment. We will survive no matter how things are hard. And I would say that it's important to, if, let's say, some difficulty sleeping happens, then we can always provide comfort for ourselves. We can choose to do something that makes sense to us, not something that we think we are supposed to do. I think that can bring some maybe relief into this difficult time. So, yeah.
Oh, super, super nice. Well said. And I have not very little to add. Just one little thing to add is sometimes we get into what I call, like, anticipatory insomnia, where we're like, you know, there's something upcoming and we kind of know that we're going to have some trouble sleeping. And the tricky thing is that when we know I probably have sleep trouble sleeping in 2 weeks, then our brain naturally wants to prepare for it and be like, so what can I do now to prevent this? Because I have this time to prepare, which is so tricky, because the more we try to prevent it, the more we are engaged in the struggle of trying in an effort. So the, you know, as always, like the most helpful thing is actually just to not try to prepare and sort of be willing to face what happens, I think.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Very nice. I hope that made sense. And now let's see. We have Amy just said hi, I think. Hi, Amy. And Katharina said, hi, guys. I've started to struggle with insomnia in January until I found your channel in March. Since then, I have experienced periods of pre-insomnia-like sleep, which are followed by a speed bump if I have to get up early the next day. Okay. This mostly leads to a night with a little sleep. It always feels like the fear gradually increases during this period of good sleep until it needs to relieve itself by a speed bump. I got really annoyed by these fearful thoughts over the months as my brain just can't stop problem solving, though the issue is very clear to me. My actual question is it common to take that long, even after having understood all the teachings and having seen that there's actually nothing wrong with me? Oh, very, yeah, insightful, nice question here. What are your thoughts when you hear this, Alina?
I mean, it's very well written, I would say, this kind of like the whole like situation, how exactly good stretch of sleep kind of creates this build-up pressure when you feel like I cannot stand this good stretch, you know, like for longer time, because I have this old pressure and I just, you know, live in the constant this expectation that, you know, something about happens. So I hope that this thing is already would happen, so I would have it behind me. So it's completely normal to feel that way. And I would say that, you know, everything being understood, everything being learned, and then seeing that actually you can sleep, the body is able to produce sleep, is kind of the beginning of the journey. Because then I usually say that insomnia has long tail recovery. So that means that the most intense like learning happens in the beginning, when we acquire the all like the knowledge about how sleep works, how our brain works, how anxiety works, and things like that. So in that moment, the changes could be dramatic in terms of like we start feeling better almost, you know, pretty quickly. I mean, not everyone, of course, like for each person it looks differently, but often I notice that people, once they understand that it's just anxiety and this is how the brain works, they feel like, oh, okay, that's it's supposed to be like that. Oh, fine, okay. So they kind of like feel more secure. Yeah. So they begin to feel like, okay, they know everything, they understand everything, and now it's, you know, time for good sleep. But what in practice happens is that the processes that's been kind of like started in the brain, like the learned fear, is not will not leave us that quickly, because there is all it's so deeply, I would say, recorded, this fear, like somewhere deep in amygdala, which is not actually accessible by our rational part of the brain. We cannot just simply persuade it and like resolve it for good, because there will be some automatic reactions. And these automatic reactions would make us also react to those automatic reactions. So then we can kind of like get into the rabbit holes like from time to time. And therefore, like the most of the journey would be actually experiencing speed bumps and learning little by little, but on a deeper level, that you're safe, you're safe, you're safe, you're safe, because sometimes it's not enough to just rationally understand it. Sometimes most of the times when people we have a call with them, and then they say like, I understand everything, but my brain just doesn't bite. That's such a common scenario. It's just, I would say that's the whole journey is about. You understand everything perfectly, and then when the speed bump kind of like happens, you kind of lose that knowledge, and it's like there is a part of you that still doesn't believe it, doesn't act on it, and yeah, you just feel like you're stuck, you're doing something wrong. In reality, everything goes according to the plan. That's how it's supposed to be, because the brain learns not by rational argumentation, it learns by seeing. It's just like it has to see it to believe it,
Yeah, exactly.
In other words, we have to go through these ups and downs so that the brain would learn, like, oh, right, there's actually nothing is wrong, because I tried everything and I see that, you know, you've been through very rough periods and you came out alive. So, and that's how it learns to let go of control.
Well said. I wanted to just add one thing here. I'm going to write it down, because we have sort of a term for this, and you know, Katharina described it so well, but we call it success regress when you have this pattern of like, okay, I slept well, actually, thanks to all everything I've been learning, and oh, I slept well for two nights, that's nice. Now it's been three nights. Oh, is this for real? Like, can this be, is this it? Four nights, oh my gosh. What if I hit five? And it's like five nights, oh my gosh, six nights, that's going to be amazing. You see, the pressure is building here from the quote unquote success. And then we have that relief, or like, okay, now I didn't sleep at all because of all the pressure. And then there's no pressure to sleep at all, right? And then the cycle starts again. No pressure to sleep. Sleep happens easier, and then it builds up. And the only thing I want to add to that is, like, I think one of the keys is to see that this happens because we look at sleep as success. We look at it as like something we've achieved, and then there's something we can lose. But when we start seeing that, no, sleep just happened. It happened because I wasn't pressured. I wasn't pressuring myself. It just happened for no particular reason. Then this whole thing just fades out. So that's just a little bit to add to that.
Yeah, that's actually so like a good way of saying like what you said, that you know, it's about the idea that there is a success to be achieved. And that's why I also like, I get a lot of people who get, sometimes they get triggered by success stories. And I feel like maybe that the word in itself like already implies that there is some sort of, because then it doesn't give you any chance for, let's say, occasional sleeplessness, which can happen to anyone, and it can be pressuring. So I completely agree that this kind of like success, naming it as success and reacting to good nights with this kind of like, oh, I had a successful night, it already kind of creates this tricky situation where we get into this win or lose or black and white thinking, which usually leads us to this kind of like roller coaster. So either it's like super amazing, or it's like really miserable. We feel really miserable. So, yeah.
Well said. And yeah, I think I'm so aware of that like calling it success stories is kind of tricky, but then people have to understand what you're talking about too. So yeah.
And to have disclaimer.
Exactly.
Don't fall for the brain, you know, trying to catch success.
All right. Let's see. Hi, Sense Canada, I think, is here. Hi. I'm writing this from my work account, but I struggle with staying asleep versus falling asleep. When I wake up, I oftentimes toss and turn with micro naps until I am ready to get up. My first few months of insomnia was like 2 to 4 hours per night. Now it's about 4 to 6, but oftentimes not without interruptions. And I just stumbled across now this week, I feel less stressed around bedtime. So nice to hear. But I still have a low level arousal when nighttime comes around. My main question, what is the best way to not attach yourself to the outcome or desire for sleep? Seems contradictory, I know, but I feel like my brain believes that sleep is an indicator of good health. All right. And an insightful question again here. What do you think when you hear this, Elia?
I would say that it is very tricky to, I would say, get out of this belief that in order to be healthy, you need to have like, you need to sleep well, because we've been like bombarded with all this information, how sleep is important. They present sleep as this kind of like cure for everything. Like if you sleep, then you will be young forever and live long. And, you know, all this kind of thing that create this very pressuring picture in our minds that we have to absolutely sleep. And it's no wonder like why we still have that fear going on in us, because like, again, like rationally we understand, we learn things, the true things about sleep, but I would say this kind of deep conditioning, the memory, what we've read, is not that easy to erase, because then, you know, we've spent most of our lives believing into something, and then when we actually encounter with the sleep nature and we see how uncontrollable it is, we cannot control our sleep, it gets very difficult to actually let go of everything what we've learned. So I think it's like really normal to feel that way, about this kind of, like, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just, you know, as you're talking, I know you, at some point you used the word propaganda, and I think that's actually, you know, it's actually quite a nice word to use. It's like we have all been subject to this, like, sleep, like, propaganda over so many years. So it's not hard to see that we still have some fear around it. Now, the other question here was about, like, how do I become less attached? Like, you know, when we understand that, yes, I'm really attached to the outcome. Like, I really am. And I see that that's what creates my struggle. So how do I, like, disattach myself? And yeah, tricky question to me, because, like, as I think you often point out too, is like the moment we're like, okay, I'm going to do this to become less attached, we're again putting an effort, we're kind of trying to do things, which is so tricky. So to me, the answer somehow becomes about awareness, that we see, like, I like this North Star idea, that we can give the brain like a North Star, like, hey, brain, what would be helpful is if I wasn't so attached to the outcome, if I wasn't so attached to whatever happens every night, that would be really helpful. But I don't know how to do that. You figure that part out. That's as close as I've gotten to it. But what do you think?
I mean, this unattachment, I would say that's what the whole journey is about. It's very difficult to really shrink it into the right, like, small kind of guidelines, because that's literally what I was doing all the months when in my recovery. I tried to become non-attached, and it is normal that it is difficult, because our brains are wired in the way, like, from like evolutionary standpoint, that we absolutely must have control over situation. We must react fast. We must, like, we should not waste any second just, you know, like, rationalizing when there is apparent danger. So in this case, like, it's natural that we cannot let go of control. So I would say here we could maybe a little bit, you know, set maybe realistic expectations from the journey, and don't be too hard on ourselves for having it very difficult to let go, because I usually like see it as, you know, what we are doing, like, in recovery is basically we are trying to teach the super ancient 1,000-year-old mechanism. Like, it's of course it's not gonna be easy. It's going to be like at some moments we get some clarity and we start feeling better. Then there is a speed bump. There is, you know, like, the same old mechanism gets, you know, activated, and we again need to, you know, work with that fear and so on and so on. So first of all, really normalize that it is okay that sometimes we cannot let go. So by accepting that at some moments, letting go gets more difficult, and that's okay. We can allow ourselves to, let's say, not accept, because that's also an acceptance. Accepting that you cannot accept, that's, to me, like, ultimate acceptance. It's like the true one, because you really realize the reality of things and you see them as they are. So, you know, like, yes, currently I cannot accept this. I feel frustrated. I know that I want to sleep. I know that. So, you know, instead of like trying to pretend like, oh, I just, you know, I don't care whether I sleep or not, while deep inside you're still kind of hoping, sometimes it's even easier or maybe less pressuring when you just become honest with yourself and just admit, like, yes, I cannot. I'm like, acceptance currently is not available to me. So I'm going to do my best to take care of myself during this difficult time, because I know that, you know, there is nothing that can create sleep, but I can still take care of myself. I can still make sure that this difficult moment is as least pressuring as possible. So, and you can do it in many ways. That's what the concept of freedom comes in handy, because then we realize that when we happen to have difficulties with, like, let's say at night, it's difficult to accept, we have all this hyper arousal, the knowledge that we can choose how to react to that is, you know, can be actually liberating, because then we know that there is no wrong way. We cannot make it wrong, because if we go in the direction of more, you know, kindness and self-care, then any choice we would make would be the right choice, because that would be something that would actually give us comfort in the moment when we need it most. And then when things get easier, then we can have space for acceptance and other stuff, and it will come naturally. It will not come with force, because I don't feel like that we can accept with, you know, with this kind of like strong intention with a lot of force. That's not truly an, you know, acceptance, and it's not actually even kindness, because you're forcing yourself.
Right.
And sometimes being actually honest with yourself and allowing yourself to do things that feel less pressuring could be actually the way out of this very entangled situation.
Well said. Well said. I have nothing to add except saying that it was super nice having you here. It's really nice chatting.
Yeah. Thank you for inviting me.
Any time. And I know, yeah, bedtime, we've been getting busier and, yeah. You know, you're getting busier yourself as well. Any projects or things that are going on? I know you're working on your newsletter or anything else.
I finished writing my course or the newsletter course. It's a very long document. Now what I have to do is that I put all the things that were going on in my head and I just put them in the document. It's like, I think it's like 26 or 27 letters and each ones are really long. So I think like for anyone who is like also this kind of very detailed, they need to get to the bottom of things. I would say this is something that they will find maybe useful because it's like a lot of text. I couldn't shorten it. I just felt like I just need to tell everything. And so I wrote that, you know, I already have the document and I need to do the edits. I need to kind of upload it and set it up, you know, like from technical point of view. And then hopefully it will be ready soon. And in the meantime, I started offering this kind of like email-based coaching. So sometimes sometimes they don't feel maybe confident in their English, you know, like, so they better prefer to write, or sometimes they want to kind of have the record of our conversation so that they can back to it whenever they need it. Because usually our communication also on bedtime, maybe you also have that too. Like the messages and the like communication there is really like in depth, like there are long messages, a lot of teaching moments and things like that. So yeah, so that's, I started offering like through emails, so that's something new.
Yeah. All right, very cool. So nice hearing all this pioneering work and it being done, and yeah, we'll call it there. Well, thanks everybody for being with us, and see you soon. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.